Well, I suppose, Miles, you could say maybe the scoreline was flattering, but at the end of the day, Ireland took all the chances were available, whereas, as you heard me yesterday, Scotland butchered two tries. I mean, the first one, the time that Hugh Jones had the beautiful chip, stepped inside, you know, and I mean, Stuart Hogg was, all he had to do was pass the ball to him, and Hogg was under the post in a canter. And that 7 points would have made a difference. The same thing happened in the second half whenever there was an overlap and a pass was thrown literally in the touch. From that, of course, Ireland were penalised, and then Scotland did score through Kinghorn in the corner. And there was one other opportunity as well, but I mean, I think the one that Hogg should have got in the first half, that at that particular time, Miles, could, you don't know, again, it's hindsight now, but at that particular time, even though Scotland hadn't had virtually any ball in the first 10 minutes, they did kick the penalty. And then Ireland came back at 7-3. But at that stage, you know, Scotland were playing well, and a converted score at that particular time would have been very interesting. But, I mean, possibly you would say, yes, a flattering scoreline, but at the end of the day, if you take your chances, you deserve it.
Yeah. Now, would you give Jonathan Sexton credit for backing back against, was it Hugh Jones, yeah, and then he hit him very hard, and that prevented the pass going to hand, and that's maybe where this try was saved?
Possibly Jones delayed the pass, and yeah. Sexton had the opportunity. That could well have been that, but I mean, whenever, I mean, with the way that Hogg was backing up, I mean, from 40 metres out, there's not too many people would stop Hogg, and he could easily have given the ball earlier. It's probably the one mistake Jones has made in the Six Nations, because he has been tremendous, and, you know, again, yesterday he played well, but I think yesterday the difference possibly that it's, you know, everybody thought when Big Farrell got injured that would be, you know, that would be a bit of a blow, because his physicality up the middle would have been so strong. But I mean, for me yesterday, Miles, for a guy that has hardly played any rugby at all, I thought Gary Ringrose was absolutely superb. He literally broke the game line on every occasion. And just a wee note I made here before I forget. I mean, I don't know, you were watching the game, obviously.
Yep.
But I can tell you, when Rob Kearney was given out as man of the match, the press area went absolutely ballistic with laughter. Whoever gave him that, I don't know, whether it was Gordon Darcy or whatever. But how Rob Kearney got man of the match history defies logic when you look at the performances of Dan Leamy, Gary Ringrose, Young Ryan in the second row, you know. But I suppose it's whoever's making the choice, that's their decision.
Yeah. Well, I think he upped his game all right, but perhaps, you know, didn't do anything spectacular that would deserve maybe to be above the others.
No, I mean, I thought Ringrose breaking up the game line was tremendous, and he just looks as if he's got the appetite for the game, and, you know, I suppose that maybe the person now, with Ringrose being so, so good yesterday, Miles, maybe Bundyaki's under pressure if Farrell's fit for next Saturday.
Well, that'll be an interesting one too. We'll come back to that one, but just concentrate on the game yesterday. I suppose we're always expecting Ireland to, you know, put on a spectacular show, and that you expect them to do it from the word go. That's not the way it works in international rugby. Ireland seemed to come strong at the end. Now, okay, they were conceding tries, certainly, when other teams open up on them, but they have that ability to grind teams down.
They have, and I watched the first half again this morning, Miles, and the commentator was saying, I think everybody would agree, you know, that first half of rugby yesterday when Ireland turned around 14-3 up was probably as good a 40 minutes as there has been in the Six Nations. Both sides technically very good. Both sides intent on moving the ball. You know, the technique at the breakdown, the quick release of the ball at the rucks and mauls, I mean, it was excellent, and yes, Ireland have got that. I've got that experience. But the amazing thing is, when you look down the age now of that Irish team, Miles, I can't ever recall an Irish team with so many young guys under 25, and that can only look good. And I mean, I think it's possibly been because of injuries that maybe Joe Smith has been forced to put in younger boys than he normally would. But I mean, that is the one thing that stood out. But having said, you know, I thought the first 40 minutes yesterday was absolutely fantastic, and both the teams deserve great credit. But as you say, it was Ireland eventually grounding down, a wee bit more experience. But certainly what Gregor Townsend has done with Scotland in the first 9 months of his coaching career, this time next year, we'll see what the difference could be, because they certainly posed a lot of questions yesterday, but just Ireland have been used to winning much more than Scotland, and sometimes that comes through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has admitted that Ireland are 3 to 4 years ahead of where Scotland are at this point in time, but he's going about it the right way, and they're an exciting team. You know, as you often mentioned, it's not all about the fancy stuff. I suppose if you take, for example, the battle on the ground and the battle of the wing forwards in trying to secure possession yesterday, it was a battle within a battle overall.
It was. I mean, you know, there's the Scottish captain, Sean Barkley. Unfortunately, Ryan Wilson got injured. But, you know, Dan Leamy, who I've mentioned a lot, Miles, and I think, you know, when one considers that Dan Leamy maybe at Christmas might have been about the number fifth or sixth choice, and then you saw Jordy Murphy coming on yesterday. So unfortunately, Sean O'Brien, he got injured again playing for Leinster on Friday night. And one wonders if Sean O'Brien, hopefully not, but I hope he doesn't end up another Stephen Ferris, because they can ill afford it. But Leamy adds that little bit more possibly than O'Brien, in a sense. And if you remember, there was a facet yesterday, mate, it's of about 3 minutes, when Johnny Sexton, both inside and outside, brought Leamy into the game, and all of a sudden Scotland were on the back foot. You know, that is where he is so, so good. His pace around the field is magnificent, and you know, his overall game. But, you know, you could single everybody out almost. But I thought James Ryan again, you know, for such a young man, and the way he put himself about when young Porter came on as well. Henderson looked as if he got his appetite back again when he came back on for that last 30 minutes. There's a possibility, will Smith go with the two young guys against England, or will he keep Toner maybe for the line-out for one of the games? So many things to talk about. But as you said, you know, Ireland grounded out yesterday, two tries. I mean, even the part of Conor Murphy breaking off from a rolling ball. Sean Cronin coming on a tremendous line-out drive, and he did what all good hookers do and made sure they secured the ball. Overall, it was a bonus point performance, and you can't really take too much away from that, Miles.
You cannot indeed. And I suppose we'll have to mention the man that created a record, the winger, Jason Jacob Stockdale, is scoring more tries than anybody else ever did for Ireland in the Five or Six Nations Championship. He knows where the line is.
It's amazing. I mean, that interception. I mean, and they were chatting about that at half time, where, you know, they were saying that, you know, how much he has developed lately, and how now he's able to judge it better in that way. But I mean, you know, it's one of those situations. There's certain wingers. Dennis Hickey had a sort of it was very much like that as well, although in his day there wouldn't have been as much open rugby and as many chances. But even the second try which Stocktale got, which wasn't a hard, well, you know, when you say it wasn't a hard try to take, I mean, for such a big man, I mean, he just left the guy dead when he stepped back inside, and he just keeps scoring tries, and his overall game's getting better and better. He had a couple of very, very good tackles yesterday. He's physically strong, and he's got two great feet, you know, and no, that's another bonus for Ireland's point of view, to have a young winger coming in at this stage now, and hopefully he's not getting any injuries, and he developed now to the World Cup. But it's looking good, Miles, at the moment, but next Saturday's going to be a different ball game completely.
Well, tell us about it. England out of the equation from the point of view of winning the championship by being beaten by France 22 points to 16, but that doesn't mean to say they won't be up for a big challenge next Saturday against Ireland in Twickenham.
Yeah, well, I watched the game before coming home last night, and you felt that I read during the week by quite a lot of the English ex-players and all that the makeup of the back row just wasn't right. And you touched on it earlier on about the ferocity of the breakdown. Courtney Lewis is a second row, Miles. If you're 6'6", it's very, very difficult for a man of 6'6" to not have his knees on the ground when he tries to get in over the ball. It's firstly impossible. You know, and if somebody hits him, he'll certainly move about. Rob Shaw has been a workhorse, but he hasn't got the pace. And Hughes is a bit of a physical player. So, I mean, the whole English pack, you know, Dan Cole, really, he's a scrummager. And, you know, Vinopolo as well. they don't have that mentality, and I would imagine whoever plays next week for England, Ireland won't change their game, but they will have the physicality to match them. They did it last year at the Aviva, so they know they don't hold anything. I mean, they controlled that French pack, who yesterday in the second half really made England look very second phase. What will Eddie Jones do? You know, will he make wholesale changes, or will he stick with the team? I think there'll be a few changes made, and I think there'll be a few young boys given a chance, which sometimes you might say, sometimes, you know, they think, well, if they're making changes, it'll be easier to beat them. But then if you get young guys who have been on the periphery for so long and they get an opportunity, they can raise their game. But yet I would have honestly think, Miles, if Ireland played just the same way that they've been playing and taking their chances, England really have nothing to play for, and that's the one thing. It's very rarely an England team are like that. And, you know, the mindset of following these boys, you just wonder what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just before we go to the local scene, just to mention that I am going to be speaking with Joe Dunleavy around about 4:30, in not too distant future. He played, of course, for Ireland under-20s as they defeated Scotland there on Friday night up in Donnybrook. And had a good game by all accounts.
I watched the game because I was delighted to see it on the, I think it was Thursday, I picked it up, the team sheet, and I knew he had been in the panel of 30, but I keep watching to see even was in the replacements for other games. But no, he had a very, very good game, Miles. Won a tremendous take up the middle and an offload, which Donald Lenihan, I mentioned this yesterday, Donald Lenihan mentioned on a couple of occasions. Defensively, he's a very, very strong guy. He looks to me, I haven't seen him now since probably the summer, and he certainly looks to me as if he's beefed up quite a bit in that way. But you know, the thing about it is, Miles, he was only 19 in December, because when he came to City Day last year, he'd only turned 18. And, you know, I said yesterday in a standby, and if you talk to some of the City of Derry boys, they will tell you, he single-handedly, and on a couple of games, kept Derry up in that league. I know a lot of ex-Malone boys that I've played against over the years, and I've been chatting to them and asked them, and they are very, very impressed with him when he plays for Malone, you know, because that's the club that he would turn out with if he's not playing for the Ulster B team or the academy. But he has made a fantastic leap in the first year. And, you know, with a performance like that and the fact that the coach has had the confidence to play him virtually the whole game in that Scottish match, I mean, the Junior World Cup is coming up. There'll be a panel of 30 players being taken. And if he's at this moment in time good enough to start, then hopefully that he'll get an opportunity. There'll be injuries, of course, at that tournament. But what an opportunity, and at such a young age, of 19 years of age. And just let's hope, as I said yesterday, let's hope in maybe 3 or 4 years' time, if I'm still doing it, that I could be talking about a Letterkenny man running on for Aviva with a number 6 green jersey on him.
Yeah. Alec, are you aware of any Donegal players playing for Ireland in international rugby? We know about Dave Gallagher playing for the Invincibles in New Zealand.
Yes, that was many years ago. Uh-huh.
But for Donegal-born players played for Ireland, I wonder, are there any?
Well, it's a very interesting one that you say to me, because there was a person whose father was from Donegal playing yesterday and the year before, Andrew Porter. Andrew Porter's connection comes from St. Johnstone.
Okay.
So I suppose, technically speaking, that you could, if we go back to where did your mother or your father come from, you could technically say that. But young Porter, I think his father moved to Dublin quite a while ago, but you know, maybe it was the grandparents, but people were telling me that his grandparents were from St. Johnstone, so mm-hmm. I suppose there's a slight claim to fame there, Miles.
Oh, there is. Am I correct in saying that Andrew Porter, no, he did actually go to St. Andrews. I thought he might have been at school in Enniskillen, but no, I think he was St. Andrews.
No, he went to St. Andrews in Dublin.
In Dublin, that's right. Yeah,
that's where he came from. But I mean, he again. I mean, this guy is almost a tag for number 2.
Oh, he certainly is.
You know, he doesn't really faze him at all. I mean, if he had to play against England next week, I'm sure he would love every moment of it.
Yeah, I think there was only the one penalty given in favour of Ireland in the scrum, and Porter was propping at the time.
Yeah. Oh, he's a very, very strong guy. I mean, you just have to look at him. He's certainly not somebody you want to run past an Arrow Alloway.
No, certainly not. Not trying to run into him anyway. OK, let's turn to the All-Ireland League Division 2C. Oma, great victory against Sligo, 22 points to 14.
Absolutely fantastic. I was delighted because I was getting updates. Because obviously it was a 12 o'clock kickoff, mate, as you see, because obviously they wanted to see the England game. And after that result then, that was the one that was called off last week. Oma now move into fourth position. Now, that puts them in a playoff towards the end of the season if they maintain that. But, you know, the fact that they're up there and winning so many games in this league, and especially the ones away from home, looking at their, pardon me, I was looking at their final run-on, there's two of those games that certainly you would think they would be in with a shout. It's harder. The other two are probably a wee bit harder. But, I mean, it's been a magnificent season for them. And their big second-row Sproul, the other bro, he had broken the ankle in the season. He's back playing again, and he can only add to the team with his size and the line-out and the scrum. But a great performance from Oma overall. And because Sligo are a very, very good side, and Sligo were expected to get promotion in that. So Oma have been delighted with that performance yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Rugby Championship 1, victory for Coleraine against Tramore.
Yeah, Coleraine, it's an up and down season. In fact, it's been more down than up, but I'm sure they'll have been pleased with that performance yesterday, 16-7 against Tramore. Limavady, another narrow victory, but they've had a very, very good run since Christmas, beating Academy by 20 points to 15. Staban had a big result at home against Donegal Town in a Rugby Championship 3, 50 points to 6, but Letterkenny went to Virginia, and they certainly overturned them quite well. And Virginia won by 40 points to 0 in that one. A big disappointment for the Letterkenny boys there. Rugby Regional North, Miles, it was City Derry 22, Inishowen 12, Coleraine 0, Staban 7, and the Rugby Regional West, it was Enniskill 0, Staban 20. So those were the games. Those Rugby Regional games, and even the Rugby Championships, some of the teams may not have been with full strength, because some guys would be going down to the rugby. But nevertheless, it's the teams that meet on the field is important. But there's no doubt that after the great performance by Ireland, obviously is from an Irish perspective, but from a North West perspective, that Oma result beating Sligo is tremendous. And they are certainly fast becoming. They're going to be saying to themselves, you know, if we can get up, the Rainies in the City of Derry will have to be looking over their shoulder at us.
They sure will. Alec, good day to be talking to you, as you say, and we look forward to the action next Saturday. Thank you very much.
Hopefully I'll be reporting to you from Twickenham next Saturday, and as you say, next Sunday we might be breaking over a wee bottle of champagne and toasting to the lot.